Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. What I wanted to talk to you about this afternoon and before we go to lunch, and which won't be that long, and I'm not going to go that long, is I wanted to share about royalty, that we are in a paradigm shift. And from this time forth, I want everyone to stand up right now. And what we're going to do is we're all going to take one step. We'll take one step to the left. We'll take one step this way. We're going to make a paradigm shift right now. We're going to shift out of the old thinking, of old stinking thinking that I'm not good enough, that I haven't prayed enough, that I'm, you know, whatever it is. And we're going to shift into our destiny that we are the royal daughters of the Most High God. So right now, we're all going to go in this direction because of the chairs in front of us. So right now, one, two, three, shift. In Jesus' name, you can have a seat. When Pastor and Anna and I were talking about the name, and it ended up being the name for the advance, and it ended up being Pastor LaRue, the head of our church, who has an apostolic spirit of revelation upon him that actually picked the name and for the advance. And it's very, very prophetic for this hour, because I want to share with you about one of my most favorite characters in the Bible, and that's Esther. Now, Esther, if you turn your Bibles to Esther, chapter 5, verse 1, and it says, on the third day, say on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the royal, or the inner court, of the king's palace opposite the throne room. The king was sitting on his throne facing the main entrance. And when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, she obtained favor in his sight, and he held out the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the tip of the scepter. We are in the third day. This is the 21st century. We're in the 3,000th year since the earth was created. We're in the third day. Say, we are in the third day. And prophetically speaking, it's time to take off the old mindset that I'm not good enough, I'm not pure enough, I'm not whatever enough, and put on the mindset that I am the royal daughter of the king. And she was an orphan, and she was like just a regular person. And she got called to go into the courts of the king. But until she had a spirit of meekness, a spirit of humility, a spirit of submission, she wasn't elevated to the position that she was elevated. Do you remember that she had Haggai, who was the eunuch who was there to help her with anything that she needed, and she followed whatever he said. And Haggai represents the Holy Spirit. She was submissive. She was meek. She was loving. She was gentle. Now, if you read Matthew 5, it says, blessed are the what? The pure in heart, and blessed are the meek, because the meek shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we are in a season, our pastor has been teaching us about ascending. And we've got to get it. We have to start operating in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. Because, as Kathy was saying, the veil's been rent. And we need to start doing our prayers in the intercession and the courts of heaven. There are people that are going to the courts of heaven every single day. I mean, where they are actually in the courts of heaven. Ian Clayton had such a desire. He's got a very strong prophetic gift, and he had such a desire to go to the courts of heaven. So for a year, he practiced seeing himself in the courts of heaven until one day he walked in and he was in the courts. That's where we need to start doing our petitioning. And it was Esther that presented herself in the courts of heaven. And who did she intercede for? A whole nation was saved. We are returning back to the days of Noah, and prior to the days of Noah was the days of Enoch. And the anointing of Enoch, the mantle of Enoch, is being released for such a time as this. And whatever you read of any person in the Bible, if it's Elijah, if it's Enoch, whatever gifts that they walked in, you can have those gifts too. We are sons and daughters of God. Now the elite group, the One World Order group, is raising their children up and telling them, you're going to take over this earth. It's a counterfeit kingdom. We're feeling the shaking because it's shifting. The new kingdom's being shifted into place. The old kingdom, the old order, is coming down. And Jesus is going to be the king. And I want you to read this verse with me, because it's a powerful verse. And this weekend, we may repeat a couple of verses because it's getting inside of us. But Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And it says, here's the new song they sang. You are worthy to take the scroll and break it open. Now, whenever they break open a scroll, it also means revelation. Because unless this word gets into your heart, becomes revelatory, then it won't bear forth any fruit. It's only the word that you understand, that you receive it, understand it, and hold it, will bear forth the fruit of God. You've got to understand who that you are, because if Esther didn't understand that she was royalty, even though she was taken from the streets, taken in by Mordecai, and an orphan, she still put the royal robes on. And this is the season.
Okay, take those robes,
put the royal robes on. Okay, come on, put the royal robes on. Your royalty. Okay, listen to this verse. It says, with your blood, you bought people for God. They came from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And you made them members of a royal family. You've made them priests to serve our God, and they will rule on the earth. And I'm reading from the NIRV translation. So say this after me. I am a member of the royal family. I am a priest to serve God. And I will rule where? On the earth. See, if the enemy can keep you in Lodabar mentality, like he did Jonathan, Saul's grandson, even though he was an heir to a king. If he can keep you in that poverty mentality, that low self-image, that low self-esteem, that shame, that rejection, then you won't step out and do what God has called you to do. Your royalty. Say, I am royalty. Now, I heard something very interesting recently, and that is the Jewish custom. they do not call a child, a young man, the father will not call him a son until he's about 12 or I think it's 13 years old and he goes through the bar mitzvah. Then they have a celebration and he comes into sonship. And then the father will start calling him the son and including him in his business. And he starts being an inheritor. So we can be a child of God, but until you mature in the Lord, then you become a son of God. This is the season for the sons of God to rise up. The sons of God walk in power. They walk in authority, but they walk in meekness, power and authority under submission to God. And so Jesus, in another verse, Revelation 1:6, it says, he has made us members of his royal family, priests to serve God and the Father. So we are preparing for the Lord's return. And all the verses that says about the Lord's return, without holiness, no man, no woman shall see the Lord. That we've got to get our garments clean. We've got to go before him and allow that word to wash out, to wash us, to cleanse us, wash us, and to get into the rivers of living waters. And I heard a prophet recently that goes to heaven all the time. And he said when he was in heaven, he saw this river, the rivers of living waters, and some people were in there just soaking, that just came to heaven. They were just soaking in the river and being cleansed and being refreshed. I thought, wow. I mean, I had always wondered why in heaven would they have leaves for the healing of the nations in Revelation either 21 or 22. I thought as soon as you went to heaven, I mean, as soon as you died, I mean, you were like instantly transformed and almost like a Superman. I mean, you know, just all clean, all for everything. And I think that that does happen to a certain extent. But there's still a process. There still may be a little bit of process when you get there, because he says he'll wipe every tear from our eyes. And there's leaves for the healing. There's something about the river of God and getting in that river and getting cleansed and getting healed and getting delivered. And this is the season to be in that river. Okay. In Psalms 45:10-11, it says, listen to me, O royal daughters. Take to heart what I say. Forget your people and your family, which he's just saying, forget your past. Because at that time, they used to take them from, they'd have to travel with the king. For your royal husband, say, my royal husband delights in my beauty. So I honor him. For he is my Lord. So where does beauty come from? What is beauty? That's right. Carlene said it's inner beauty. Okay. 1 Peter 3:3-5. And I'm going to personalize it and have you repeat it so that it's washing all of us. It's not just me saying the verse, but if you say the verse, I feel like it's going to be the Lord and the Holy Spirit that'll minister to you. So it says, and you can say after me, braiding my hair doesn't make me beautiful. Wearing gold jewelry or fine clothes doesn't make me beautiful. Instead, my beauty comes from inside of me. It is the beauty of a gentle, a meek, a humble, a quiet and a peaceful spirit. Beauty like that doesn't fade away. God places greater value on it. This is how the holy women of the past used to make themselves beautiful, for they put their hope in God and followed the lead of their own husbands. Isn't that powerful? This is the season to get every bit of darkness out and to get peace, joy, and love in. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And any thought that you have that's not of God may not be your thought at all. We are spiritual antennas. So sometimes when you're being an antenna, you can pick up something and it can be the enemy, but he's trying to take something on the outside and get you to agree with it on the inside so he could try to afflict you, whether it's fear or depression or oppression or look at that person, comparison, whatever. Just resist it. Don't receive those thoughts. Anything that doesn't look like heaven, don't resist it. It's not you. You're part of heaven. Your destiny is heaven. The Greek or the Hebrew word for meekness. And how about I have you just repeat this after me? And it says, meek am I who wholly relies on God rather than my own strength to defend against an injustice. It is the opposite of self-assertiveness and self-interest. My meekness stems from trusting God in His goodness and His control over situations. I am not preoccupied with self at all. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, not the human will. When Jesus appeared to David Taylor, who wrote a book, Face-to-Face Appearances with the Lord, many, 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 many face-to-face encounters with the Lord. He even had many, many, many with his children, while he's even with his children and his family. And one of the things that the Lord told him is he said, in the church, the leaders will sometimes teach the people about the kingdom of God, or not the kingdom of God, operating in the gifts of the Spirit without first teaching them about the heart of Jesus. And once you read Matthew 13, Luke 8, and Mark chapter 4, which our pastors dearly love, the keys to the kingdom, the key is the heart. And the master key is love. Because the royal law in the kingdom of God is love. And so Jesus taught him, he said, Matthew 11:29. Come and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Come learn of me. Say, come, I come learn of you, Jesus. And I have a meek and a lowly heart. That was Jesus. He came the first time, even though he is an emperor, the king of the universe. And he came in the form of a man and died the most gruesome death to pay for our sins. He came riding, and listen to this, what he tells the daughters of Zion, which is us, when he came into Jerusalem. He says, tell the daughters of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey. That's how he came the first time. And because he went so low, God exalted him to the highest position. Now, I heard a man speak recently, Joseph Garlington, who has ministered for like 30 or 40 years, and he's just loaded. And he said to God, God, what do you want me to do? And guess what God told him? Get small. Get small. See, there's two thrones that are inside of us. One has the throne of itself, is on the throne. The other throne is for Jesus. Your will, Lord, not mine. Say, your will, Lord, not mine. So just as Jesus had to go through a process of dying, so he's asking us to die to self. And we got to die to anything that does not look like Jesus. Because we were created to be one. Say, I am created to be one. One in his image. One with him. He's looking out of my eyes. He's speaking out of my mouth. He's listening through my ears. And he's loving through my heart. This last revival is going to be founded on love. And he says, you will know there are my disciples by the love that they have for one another. He says in 1 Peter 3:7, the end of all days is near. Therefore, be disciplined, self-controlled, and alert so that you can pray. But above all, say above all, have intense, unfailing love for one another. And I'm not going to go too much longer, but I want to give just a few more verses. Anna Rountree, who's one of my most favorite, she wrote two books called The Heavens Are Open and The Priestly Bride. And Bob Jones had prayed for her. She's got a gift to be able to ascend to heaven. She's learned how to go to heaven and has had some just wonderful encounters in heaven. But one of the things is that she saw the inward garment of a royal princess. The inward garment of a royal bride. And guess what that inward garment was? It's one of our pastor's favorite. It's in Framing Your World. And it's Colossians 3:12-15. And instead of reading it again, say this after me. Say, since God chose me to be a holy daughter whom he loves, I clothe myself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I make allowance for others' faults. I forgive everyone who's ever offended me. I remember the Lord forgave me, so I forgive others. And above all, I clothe myself with love, which binds all of us together in perfect harmony. She said in that garment, it had all this embroidery in it, and it was gold. And Jesus told her, guess what the gold represented? gold represents love. And the reason being is that love will be tested. It'll be go through the fire. Gold, which is so valuable, has to go through the hot fire to become purified, where you can then pull the dross off. It comes at a price. We're in this season of preparation of the Lord. In Matthew 25, the five wise virgins had the extra oil. It came at a price. They prepared. They were told, all the virgins were told to prepare. But only the five wise ones were willing to go pay the price to get that extra oil and have it ready. Only the five wise virgins were willing to trim their dirty wicks so that the lamp could be brighter. Clean that inside of that glass. Clean it. Get it ready. Psalm 45:13 says, in her chamber, the royal daughter is all glorious, and her clothing is embroidered with gold. And in colorful garments, she is led to the king. That is you, and that is me. The price that we pay is intimacy with the Lord. And that means sometimes saying no to the television, sometimes saying no to the computer, sometimes saying no, you know, maybe to the extra shopping or whatever. Yeah. And so Jesus is asking you, say yes to him. Just set a time to meet with him and use a sanctified imagination to imagine that when you're before him, that he's right there. Picture him looking at your face. Picture his face. Do you know that if you have favor with the king, you'll be able to see his face? You are royalty. You have destiny. And we're going to change your world for the kingdom of God. God bless you and thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. That was awesome. That was awesome. Outstanding.